Amen. Well, before I begin, I want to thank Pastor Jimenez, of course, for the opportunity to preach. It's always a blessing, and I'm honored to be able to get up here and preach for you guys. So thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And so there in Exodus 16, and Exodus 16, of course, it's a famous chapter, and we just read through it about the story of God providing the manna from heaven, and of course, picturing the Word of God. But in Exodus 16, we see the children of Israel just, you know, fresh out of Egypt. This is just 2 months into the wilderness wanderings, as we just studied through. And we see that God's people here in Exodus 16 are discontent where God has them in life. Exodus 16, look at verse number 1. Again, the Bible says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai," notice, "on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt." So get the picture. This is just only 2 months after they saw God just, you know, destroy the entire army of Egypt, the great wonders and miracles that Moses did. 2 months after, they come to this part of their journey, and what do? When things go hard, when things get difficult, well, they do what most people do when things don't go their way. They begin to murmur and complain. Exodus 16, look at verse number 2. Notice, "And the whole congregation," notice, "of the children of Israel," notice what they do, "they murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." So when things don't go their way, they do what human nature wants to do. They begin to murmur, they begin to complain. And notice verse number 3. Notice the perception that these people have, the misconstrued, skewed perception that they have of what just happened. In verse 3, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord," notice, "in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And you read these words, they're saying, look, would to God we would have died in Egypt when what? When we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. And you know, you read this and you have to ask yourself, you know, really? Is this really what you're thinking, how Egypt was like? When they were in Egypt, they were what? They were slaves in Egypt. They were crying unto God because of the hard bondage. And the Lord heard the groanings of the children of Israel, so he sends Moses to deliver them from the slavery, from the bondage there in Egypt. And now here we see the misconstrued perception. They're saying, look, would to God we had died in Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. So we see that because they were murmuring and complaining, they had a skewed perception of reality. And of course, the people thinking that they're murmuring and complaining only against Moses and Aaron. Exodus 16, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord." Notice, "for that he," this is Moses speaking, "for that he heareth your murmurings," notice, "against the Lord." So the people are murmuring and complaining against Moses and against Aaron. But Moses, no, look, God hears your murmurings. And they're not against me, they're against the Lord. And he says in verse 7, "And what are we that ye murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that," notice, "again, the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye," notice, "murmur against him. And what are we," notice, "your," again, "murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." So we see them doing what? Just murmuring, complaining again and again. And in verse 9, he says, "And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord," notice, "for he hath heard again your murmurings." And so only 2 months after the great miracle, the great wonder that God did, these people are doing what? They're just murmuring and complaining where God has them in life. And what we see, in not just here, just murmuring all throughout the chapter, is you see this terrible habit of God's people just murmuring and complaining through the path that God has them on. Key place in Exodus 16, but go one chapter back to chapter 15, Exodus 15, look at verse number 22. Exodus 15, verse 22, we see that God's people, they had a bad habit of murmuring and complaining. And look, there are people who are just chronic complainers, just complaining about everything. Exodus 15, look at verse number 22. It says, notice, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went," notice, "3 days in the wilderness and found no water." Now get the picture. We're just one chapter before, We're not 2 months after the great miracle of God just, you know, flooding the army of Egypt. No, we're just 3 days after that great miracle. What do we see them do? It says in verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people, verse 24, again, murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So we see the people just have this bad habit of just things go wrong. Things don't go their way. If they didn't have it their way, they just start murmuring and complaining against Moses, against Aaron. And God says, no, I hear your murmurings. And we see that these people have just a bad habit of complaining. Go to Exodus 17, if you would. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. And keep place there in Exodus. We'll be there throughout the entire evening. But go to Exodus 17. Look at verse number 1. Exodus 17, 1. Notice again. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And again, and there was no water for the people to drink. Notice, wherefore the people did, notice, chide with Moses. What does it mean to chide? It means to speak angrily or to rebuke Moses, to be arguing and complaining with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Look, Moses is saying, like, why are you arguing and complaining to me? Why are you tempting the Lord? Why are you going to make the Lord angry with your whining and murmuring and complaining? Verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water. And again, and the people, notice, murmured against Moses. So I want you to notice that these people had just this bad habit of whining, of complaining, of murmuring. And look, we live in a society with an epidemic of just whiners, murmurers, and complainers out there today. Look, we have a young generation that's growing up that sadly, we're just raising a bunch of whiners and complainers. That if they don't have everything just going their way, they're going to throw a little hissy fit and somehow mommy and daddy or the government just have to give them whatever they want. It's like we live in a society where people, they don't want to work hard. They don't want to go out there and get a job, but no, they want to whine and complain because they don't have money or they don't have the respect that they deserve. But it's like, look, you have to earn some of these things. And look, we shouldn't be enabling people who are just whining and complaining. And look, there is such a thing as chronic complainers. You may know someone who is a chronic complainer. You may be a chronic complainer, right? But look, tonight, I'm obviously preaching on murmuring and complaining. And look, we live in a society that is just constantly complaining, whining, and murmuring. So I want to begin by looking at the definition of murmuring and complaining. And I'm saying murmuring and complaining because these are very similar things. They're slightly different. But here we see God's people just doing what? They're just murmuring, which is a form of complaining. But you know what? Let's look at the definition of murmuring and complaining. But what is complaining? Complaining is the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. It's to express grief, pain, or discontent. It is the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. Look, I'm reading a definition, but you just know what complaining is, right? You feed your kids the vegetables, and what do? They just complain about the veggies, right? A boss gives their employee a task, and they just whine and complain about the task, right? It says people often complain when they feel dissatisfied or discontent with their circumstances. And that's what we see with the children of Israel. Why are they murmuring? Why are they complaining? They're doing it because, look, they feel dissatisfied. They feel discontent with their circumstances. Complaints can arise when expectations are not met or when there's a perceived discrepancy between what was promised and what was delivered. See, they were hoping for something grand, something great, something easy, right? But when things got a little bit difficult, they begin to whine and complain. And, you know, just a good definition is when things don't go your way, people just begin to complain about their circumstances, right? And look, the children of Israel, and this is exactly what they do. They whined because things didn't go their way. You're there in Exodus, but go to Numbers 21, if you would, Numbers chapter number 21. Keep your place there in Exodus, go to Numbers 21. And look, there's a problem in our society today when people are just constantly complaining about everything. And look, and social media just you know makes this a lot worse because like anyone just get on social media and just start complaining about the politics, about and anything in life. You know, teens want to complain about their parents. Parents want to complain about their kids. Church members want to complain about their church. You know, spouses want to complain about each other. It's just a whole epidemic of just people just whining and complaining. And we see Numbers 21. You see the children of Israel, things don't go their way, so they murmur and complain. Numbers 21, look at verse number 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. to compass the land of Edom. Notice, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. See, why do we complain in life? Why do we murmur and whine? It's because things don't go our way. It's an expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance. Or, as it says here, they're much discouraged because of the way. Things are going the way that they would have hoped they would have gone. In verse 5, what do they do? And the people spake against God and against Moses. So we see them murmuring and complaining against God. And look, constant complaining and constant murmuring is something you should, it's a very negative thing. Now, you should honestly just identify in yourself if you're just a constant complainer or a constant whiner or a murmur. But you should just be aware, like, this is something that all of us can fall into. Because, look, the natural tendency when things don't go our way, when we don't get what we want, the natural tendency is to become a whiner, a murmur, and a complainer. And I want to use, I found some common traits of toxic complainers. And look, you may know someone who is this. You may be one of these. And if you don't know, let's look at some traits to identify these things. Because look, this is a very negative thing in the Bible. Common traits of toxic complainers. Number one is pessimism. They're very pessimistic. They're not optimistic in life. They just can't see the good in anything. They always expect the worst. I mean, do you know someone who is like this? They just always expect the worst. They don't see the bright side of things. Everything's just negative. And look, this is a common trait of a constant complainer. They have a victim mentality. Nothing good ever happens in your life. Life is always unfair. Like, you shouldn't have this mentality. Life is just always unfair. Just this victim mentality. It looks like that's going to cause you to be a whiner, to be a complainer. Because look, life is hard. Life is hard for everyone, right? The way, we all get discouraged because of the way. But realize that people who just don't complain, who just trust in the Lord, you know, and just move forward in life, it's not that they can't complain. It's not that they can't murmur and whine. It's just that they choose not to. But somebody who has a common trait of a toxic complainer is that they have this victim mentality, that life's just not fair. It's easier for someone else. Why do they get this? Why do they get that? Just complaining. And there's also, what's another trait? A lack of problem-solving skills. Because, and look, I'm trying to help all of us, including myself here. A common trait of a toxic complainer is they have a lack of problem-solving skills. You say, why? Because, look, people complain, why? Because things come up, situations happen, issues happen. But instead of trying to figure out a problem, a way to fix the problem, a way to deal with the issue, they just choose to whine and complain about it. You see why? Because, look, they lack problem-solving skills. Sometimes chronic complainers complain because they don't know what else to do. It comes down to a lack of problem-solving skills. So look, when you find yourself in a situation that you don't like in your personal life, look, instead of whining and complaining and murmuring about the situation, why don't we just stop and think about some common some solutions? You know, how can I move forward in this problem? Yes, there's an issue. Yes, there's a problem. Maybe my weight has gotten out of control. Maybe my finances are in shambles. Maybe my spouse isn't the way she should be, or my kids aren't what they should be. But instead of whining and complaining, like, how can I fix myself? What are some problem-solving skills, problem-solving tools that I should apply in my own personal life to better the situation? You see, why don't people do that? People don't do that because, look, it's harder to do, and it's easier to whine, murmur, and complain. So they're pessimistic. They have a victim mentality. They lack a problem-solving skills. But not just that, they have attention-seeking tendencies. Like, when we whine and complain, what are we doing? We're just calling the attention on ourselves. Look how hard things are for me. It's like, no, things are hard for everyone. Things are difficult for everyone. But some people just choose not to have this attention-seeking mentality where life is all about me. I'm all self-centered. And look, people complain about the dumbest things today, about the house that they live in. It's like, you have a house. You have a bed. About the clothes that they wear. It's like, you have clothes. Oh, but it's not the name brand that I want. It's like, who cares about the name brand? It's like, you're warm. About the food that they eat. It's like, well, you just ate some food. It's like, you have your kids. You have a mom and a dad who prepared your meal for you. And they're trying to help you out. And what do? We don't get what we want, so we whine and complain, and we just seek attention. Look at me and look at my situation. But not just that, they also lack gratitude. And this is a big one. Is that people who are just constant complainers, they lack gratitude. And look, as God's people, as Christians, we should always be grateful people for what we have in life. And here's the thing. I'm not going to downplay the situation for the children of Israel. Was the way hard? Absolutely. Is wandering in the wilderness easy? Absolutely not. Is it hard to go through times when there is no water? I'm sure it is. I'm sure, yeah, you are thirsty. But look, you should be grateful for what God has done in your life. Because look, even though, yeah, the Christian life can be hard. And God may have you in a place where things right now seem difficult in life, and they may be difficult in life. And we're not downplaying that. But look, there's always something to be grateful for. But look, toxic complainers, they just lack gratitude in general. They're not grateful for anything. So they just whine and complain for what they don't have or what they think they deserve. But look, all of us as God's people should be grateful for salvation to begin with. You have the King James Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a great church. You have breath in you have life. You're breathing. Everyone's clothed. Everyone ate food today. Everyone's going to go to sleep tonight. There's always something to be grateful for. You see, what is complaining? Complaining is the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. To express grief, pain, or discontent. Why do we complain? We complain because things don't go our way. But what is murmuring? You know, murmuring is a worse form of complaining. Because look, you may not be a vocal complainer, but you know what? You could be a murmurer, and that's actually worse. What is murmuring? Murmuring is a soft, low, or indistinct sound produced by a person or group of people speaking quietly or at a distance. It is a subdued or private expression of discontent or dissatisfaction. And like, you know what murmuring is. When somebody does something, says something, pastor preaches that sermon, you're just, you start murmuring in your teeth, you know. Your husband, wife asks you to do something, you're just murmuring. It's like kids, you know, parents tell the kids to do something, and they just murmur between their teeth. It's like, what did you say? It's like, they're complaining, but they're just murmuring. They're doing it very low. But see, murmuring is a worse form of complaining. Key place there in Numbers, we go to Psalm 106, Psalm chapter number 106. So we're talking about murmuring and complaining. And like, this is something you should identify in yourself if you're just a complainer. But as God's people, we should identify these things and not be this person which is constantly complaining and murmuring and whining in life. When it comes to murmuring, you have to realize that murmuring is it's a more dangerous form, I think, of complaining. Psalm 106, look at verse number 24. Psalm 106, 24. Now, in Psalm 106, David here, the psalmist here is referencing to Numbers chapter number 13 and 14, when God sends the 12 spies into the promised land to spy out the land. And if you know the story, of course, that 12 went in and then 10 came back with an evil report. And of course, 2 came back, being Joshua and Caleb, with a positive report of the land. And I want you to notice in Psalm 106, 24, notice what it says about that story. It says, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. And in verse 25, notice, but murmured, notice, in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. I want you to notice where the complaints were coming from. See, before they go up to Moses and Aaron, start complaining to his face and being loud to him and being vocal about their complaints. No, it starts off with a murmur where in their tents. Because look, where does murmuring start? Murmuring starts in your mind and in your heart. And look, as quiet as it may be, realize, look, God hears the murmurings. God hears the complaints. But murmured, and notice, in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. You say, what's the result of people just murmuring quietly in their tents? Well, it turns out that all the congregation lifted up the voice and cried and just spake against Moses and against Aaron. How is it that just, you know, quietly murmuring and then nobody's hearing anything, just me complaining about Moses, complaining about Aaron, complaining about God, where God has me, complaining about my situation, how is it that all of a sudden now we have the whole congregation of the children of Israel just against Moses and against Aaron? Why? It's because, look, murmuring is a worse form of complaining. Murmuring is a very bad thing. Go to Jude 1, if you would. Jude chapter number 1. Jude 1. So what is murmuring? It's a soft, low, a subdued or private expression of discontent or dissatisfaction. And look, where does discontentment or dissatisfaction come from? It comes from inside of you and inside of me. It comes from us, regardless of the circumstances. That's what we have to understand. You know, as far as complaining goes, when we complain, look, dissatisfaction, discontentment, it's not found in the circumstances. It's found inside of us. You know what our circumstances do? They just reveal who we really are in life. Jude 1, I want you to notice that God puts murmuring and complaining as a characteristic of a false prophet, reprobate. Jude 1:15, the Bible says, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Notice, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, the him there is talking about the Lord. And in verse number 16, it says, notice, these are what? These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. I want you to notice, these people, they're what? They're murmurers and complainers. Doing what? Walking after their own lusts, living a life just to have things go their way. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Doing what? Seeking attention. Because that's what it does. They want the attention. Don't give Enoch the attention. Don't give God the attention. Don't give Moses the attention. Don't give Aaron the attention. No, it's all about me and my own lusts. And these people are what? They're just murmurers and complainers. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, it says, neither murmur ye. Look, murmuring is a sin. Complaining, even just quietly and low, thinking nobody hears it, is a sin. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You see, what is complaining? Complaining is the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something, to express grief, pain, or discontent when things don't go our way. What's murmuring? It's a subdued or private expression of discontent or dissatisfaction. And look, I'm reading definitions, but you know what these things are. When you just murmur and complain, or you can think of examples in your life. But I don't talk about the danger of murmuring and complaining. Look, there is a danger to you and I murmuring and complaining in life. Go to Philippians 2, if you go to Philippians chapter number 2. What's the danger? And I want to give you just four reasons why you should not murmur and complain in life. We saw the definition. Now let's look at the danger of murmuring and complaining. And like, I'll give you this first one, and this should be it. We should close the book, but we're not gonna. But the first reason, the first danger, is that it's a sin. Period. It's a sin. End of discussion. Christians should stop murmuring and complaining. Obviously, I'm a sinner too. We're all sinners. But if it were only that easy for Christians just to realize, hey, look, something is a sin, maybe I should stop doing this. Philippians 2, verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, do all things. Philippians 2, 14. Do all things, notice, without murmurings and disputings. What are disputings? Disputing is just arguing. It's just complaining. It's just whining. And you know what the Bible says here? The Bible says here, it says, do all things. And like, when it says all things, you got to realize, like, you in your life, wherever you find yourself, when you wake up tomorrow morning, and if you're a man, you have to get up and go to work and provide for your family, provide for your wife, provide for your children. And yeah, it's going to be difficult. Yeah, you're going to come home sweating. You're going to be tired. And look, the meal may not be prepared when you come home. The house may be a mess when you come home, right? But look, the Bible says do all things without murmuring and complaining. Stop complaining in life and don't be a whiner and a complainer, right? If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to try to raise those kids. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a lot of hard work. It might be discouraging because of the way. But how does God want you and I to do these things? He says do all things without murmuring and complaining. And a big one is even for men. Like, even for men, when they go to work, they have a job, and the boss tells them to do something, tells them to just follow a rule or do something new. You know what the response should be? It should just be, yes, sir. And do all things without whining and complaining and murmuring in life. Look, as God's people, look, the Bible commands us to do all things without murmurings and disputings. If you serve in church, look, serve in church joyfully, serving the Lord in whatever ministry you serve in. But when you do that, don't do it with complaints or murmurings for a position you volunteer for. See, in life, we should be people who just don't murmur and complain in life. It is a sin. Do all things without murmurings and complainings. And when it comes to murmuring and complaining, look, realize that God hears it. Again, Exodus 16 and 8, it says, don't turn there. It said, the Lord heareth your murmurings. In verse 9, it said, he hath heard your murmurings. Exodus 16, 12, I have heard the murmurings. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Look, it is a displeasing thing when God's people just complain for where God has them in life. And look, here's the thing. I'm not saying that in life you shouldn't try to better your circumstances. Because the truth is, look, we all have circumstances that we don't like, and look, that's okay. Look, in life, we should try to better ourselves. We should try to improve ourselves. But we shouldn't complain and just be whining and discontent and murmur against the things that God has given us in life. Now, the children of Israel are complaining for the manna that God gave them. Yeah, for saving them from Egypt, saving them from the world. And what do they do? They just whine and murmur and complain. See, what's the danger of murmuring? Well, it's a sin, and that should be it. But there's another danger to murmuring and complaining. Go back to Numbers 14, if you go to Numbers chapter 14. Not only is it a sin, and that should be it, but murmuring and complaining is contagious. Murmuring and complaining is contagious. And look, you got to be cautious if you're not someone who's just a complainer. Be cautious of the complainers and the murmurers. This is why the water cooler at the office is so popular. Why do people go to the water cooler? It's not because they're thirsty, because we have water bottles, right? They go there to do what? To complain about the boss, right? So they say, I don't know, right? Doesn't happen here. We have a water fountain, not a cooler. But, murmuring and complaining, guess what? It's contagious. And this is what people do. They like to murmur and complain, and guess what they want? They want other people to also murmur and complain as well. They want other people to be disgruntled. Why? Because misery loves company. But realize, look, murmuring and complaining is dangerous. So you don't want to be the murmuring complainer at your job and be the person who has a bad testimony, just complaining, spreading things at the workplace. Numbers 14, look at verse number 1 again. And notice all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Verse 2, notice again, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. I read these verses, I think to myself, did everyone just magically just pop up in their head, like, man, I'm just going to decide to complain and murmur against Moses and Aaron? We're talking about millions of people here. No, it starts with the chorus. It starts with the complainers, the toxic complainers, the murmurs, just complaining in their tents quietly, subdued. And what does it do? It just spreads like wildfire. That means, look, you in your life, look, when things get difficult in your life, instead of just spreading the complaining, spreading the murmuring, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. When it comes to the hard times in life as God's people, instead of whining and complaining and spreading just contagious murmuring and complaining, we should go to the Lord in prayer, cast all our care, all our concerns, all our difficulties in life upon him. Why? For he careth for you. And ask the Lord to help you to come up with a solution. Ask the Lord to help you get better in life. And not just whine and complain about where God has you in life. Because look, why? Because look, murmuring and complaining is contagious. See, what's the danger of murmuring and complaining? Well, it's a sin, and that should be the end of it. But not just that, but it's also contagious. But not just that, murmuring and complaining is pointless. That complaining and murmuring is a waste of time. It does not help the situation that you find yourself in. And again, one of the common traits of toxic complainers is that they lack problem-solving skills. And look, and again, I'm not saying it's okay to be okay where with you are in life. Look, in your life, you ought to improve your circumstances. You don't have to. You should get better in life. If your marriage is struggling, you should try to improve that marriage. If your kids are turning out to be monsters, you should try to improve your parenting. If men, you're having a hard time at work, you should try to improve yourself as a worker at your job. But the truth is that complaining, murmuring, and whining, it does absolutely nothing for you. It does not solve your problems. And look, you may be in a problem, in a situation that you don't like. And instead of whining and complaining, why don't we just be proactive? Find some solutions. Hey, how can I get better at my job? Instead of whining and complaining about what the boss is telling me to do, how can I do what he wants me to do in a good, positive way? Instead of whining and complaining about where you are physically in your health, why don't you find some solutions? What can I do to change my life? What can I implement? What are some problem-solving techniques or tools that I can apply in my life to help improve myself? Instead of whining and murmuring and complaining, which, guess what, solves absolutely nothing. And so when it comes to complaining, realize, look, it doesn't do anything for your life besides stress you out and stress everyone else out. It does nothing, and it's pointless. And you go nowhere in life. And not just that, look, it makes you miserable in life. Because look, guess what? If you're a man, you still have to just go to work, right? You still have to provide for your family. If you're a mom, you still have to raise those kids. But why would you want to add the burden of just murmuring and complaining and just whining about everything instead of just, you know, face it head on, find some ways you could do it right, find some ways to get better, and be someone who's just not lacking in problem-solving skills? Because look, it's easy to just murmur and complain, but that's not going to fix the situation that you find yourself in. So as God's people, look, we should find ways to improve ourselves so that we can solve the issues in our life. You see, what's the danger of murmuring and complaining? Well, it's a sin. It's contagious. It's pointless. And fourthly, complaining is scientifically proven to make you dumber. I'm going to read some articles, and I'm not just saying this like, oh, I'm just making this stuff up. No, fact check me on this, all right? Complaining is scientifically proven to make the complainer dumber. An article called Stop Complaining, It's Making You Dumber. A 1986 Stanford study suggests it's time to stop complaining or even being complained to for 30 minutes or more can physically damage the brain. I mean, some people just have brain damage from all the complaining they're doing in life. Another article called Complaining Can Shrink Your Brain. In fact, according to a study from Stanford, complaining actually shrinks your brain. Complaining for 30 minutes or listening to someone else complain for that amount of time shrinks the hippocampus, which is the area of the brain linked to problem solving. And look, I mean, this is what science apparently says, that complaining makes people dumber. Listening to it makes people dumber. So a good piece of advice is, if you're not a complainer, is stay away from the complainers. And if you wonder, after you talk to someone, why do I feel like I just got dumber? It's because you probably just did get dumber. The article says, practice the art of solution-based thinking. Complaining is talking about your problems, while solution-based thinking focuses on what you can do about your problems. You say, why should you stop complaining? Well, it's a sin. It's contagious. It's pointless in your life, and it's making you dumber. So we see the danger of murmuring. I want to show you the depiction of murmuring and complaining. What does this look like? Right? Go to Proverbs 20, Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs 20. What does murmuring and complaining look like? What's the depiction of it? And look, I just have 2 points for this one. Proverbs chapter number 20, look at verse number 4. Murmuring and complaining depicts laziness. Proverbs 20, look at verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says. It says here, it says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I want you to notice what the sluggard, the lazy person, they don't want to plow, but what do? They want to complain because it's cold. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I'm sure he's saying, oh, it's too cold out there. Just complaining about the weather. So I'm not going to do anything. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Look, when you murmur at work, men, and complain, you know what it shows your boss and your coworkers? It depicts laziness. When the boss gives you a task, and look, men complain about work, you know, let's be honest. When the boss gives you a task and you just murmur and complain about the task, you know what it says? It says, I'm just a lazy worker. Instead of just like, okay, here's work. It's like you go to work, guess what? To work. Work is going to be work. Work is going to be difficult. Work is going to be hard. This is why they pay you money, so you can actually work. And then we go to work and we complain about work. We're getting work. It's like, of course you're getting work. You're at work. But what does a sluggard do? They don't want to work. They don't want to plow because they have some reason. Oh, it's too cold outside. Just complaining about the weather. Why don't Christians serve God sometimes? Oh, because they have a reason to complain in life. Oh, pastor's just too mean. Oh, it's just too cold to go soul winning. Oh, it's just some reason. Oh, that this church member did this, that. It's just complaining. It's just like the sluggard will not plow. The sluggard will not work by reason of the cold. Look, murmuring depicts laziness. Go to Titus 2, people. Titus chapter number 2. You see, what's the depiction of murmuring and complaining? It depicts laziness. Look, this is why the lazy form, I mean, which kind of makes sense because when it comes to problems and issues, guess what, people? It's easy for people to complain and make themselves feel better, like they're doing something about it. Just, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, I'm just whining and complaining. It does nothing. And it just depicts laziness. Constant complaining is just laziness. Titus 2, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. And then it says, not answering again. What does it mean, not answering again? It means don't talk back. It means you get a task, you don't argue, you don't dispute, you don't murmur, you don't complain. You just, like a servant, be obedient unto your master according to the flesh and to please him well in all things. And don't talk back. When it comes to work, men, don't be the person who's just whining and complaining about getting work. As God's people, look, we should be the hardest workers at our job. Get the work and work hard and do a good job at it. But look, that goes for everyone in this room. Man, boy, woman too, everyone. You know, kids growing up, you teens, don't complain in life. And look, we live in a society where teenagers want to just complain because they don't have money, because they don't have the respect. Look, if you want those things, you got to work for those things and earn those things. Don't just be somebody who's just complaining because of what you don't have. And look, we live in a society where people want to complain and just so the government just gives them money just because they're complaining. And people just expect it. It's like, no, it just depicts laziness. But not just that. Not only does murmuring and complaining depict laziness, but murmuring and complaining depicts a spoiled and entitled mentality. People often complain when they feel dissatisfied or have issues with their circumstances. Complaints can arise when expectations are not met, when there's a perceived discrepancy between what was promised and what was delivered. See, complaining in life, being a toxic complainer, you know what it depicts? It depicts a spoiled and entitled mentality. Go to Luke 17, if you would, Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. You know, as God's people, we shouldn't just have this entitled mentality. Because what did the children of Israel want? Things got hard. Things didn't go exactly how they wanted it. So they start whining and complaining. I said, somehow God just owes them everything. It's like God just saved you from the hand of Pharaoh, from dying there in Egypt, from starvation and slavery. And they go to the wilderness. Things get difficult. They're in the will of God. Praise the Lord. But yet somehow they think they're just entitled to just not have to do anything else. Look, as God, as Christians, we should not have this entitlement mentality as if somehow God owes us something. Look, God doesn't owe us anything. Amen. You realize that? That nobody owes you and I anything? I mean, what do people owe you? What does God owe you? Luke 17. In Luke 17, we have a parable that Jesus gave to the question when the disciple says, look, increase our faith. In Luke 17, verse number 7, Jesus gives this parable. He says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. And just, you know, again, he's saying, look, if you have a servant who's plowing or feeding cattle, he's working hard. He says, will he say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will a master tell the servant who's supposed to be serving him, feeding him, when he comes back with all the food, is he going to say, look, you work so hard, you go sit down and you go eat, you go meet and relax? In verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Verse 9, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And then he says, I trow not. Or he says, I think not. And look, obviously, look, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and obviously, when he's right, when he's speaking, he's right, right? It's the truth. Look, he's saying, look, if a master tells a servant to go out there and to work hard, to plow the field, get the food. And when he comes back, yes, sweaty, yes, tired. Like he's saying, do you think the master is going to say, oh, you work so hard, you sit down. Thank you very much. Grab yourself some caviar and just enjoy yourself. Kick up your feet. No. He's saying, look, you first serve me. He's like, does he thank that servant? He's saying, look, I don't think so. And look, obviously a wise master will thank the servant and say, thank you for working hard, now serve me. But like he's saying, look, he doesn't need to be thanked. He doesn't owe him anything. As God's people, as servants, God doesn't owe us anything. Verse 10, so likewise ye, notice, who's that? That's you and I. When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. Notice, we have done that which was our duty to do. You see, does it sound like Jesus wants us to have this entitlement mentality? Or just the world is owed to us? Like he's saying, look, when you do all these things that are commanded of you, look, you say we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty. It's like, do you expect a thank you from them? He's like, I trow not. And look, especially as parents. Look, and as parents, sometimes, you know, we can be at fault for enabling our kids to have this entitlement mentality. And look, this is the generation that we live in. When parents don't want to discipline their kids, the kids throwing a fit, screaming, kicking, and the parents are doing what? They're just catering to the baby. Or catering to the toddler. The terrible toddler. The disaster. Just whatever you want, little boy. Just have your ice cream and cake, whatever you need. But look, as parents, we should be training our kids not to be spoiled and entitled brats. How is that done? Well, it's done by not just giving them everything they want. And when they're told no, we should not tolerate a spoiled and whining, complaining, arguing, back disputing with mom and dad. We should train them to say, you know what, that's okay. Because guess what? In life, when you grow up, life is not going to go exactly how you and I planned it would. We will be much discouraged because of the way. Life is difficult. Life will get hard. But guess what? Nobody owes us anything. And like the reason why adults, grown adults, complain today is because they have this entitlement mentality. And they come to a church like our church, and they expect our pastor just bend over, give them whatever they want, tell me what I want to hear. But it's like, no, that's not how life works. Not everything is just going to go your way how you want it to. But see, grown adults, they grow up to have this entitlement mentality because, look, they had a mommy and a daddy just spoon-fed them everything. Whatever you want, just here you go. Just giving them everything because they throw a little fit. But we should be raising our kids not to have this entitled, spoiled mentality. You see, what's the depiction of murmuring and complaining? Well, it depicts laziness. And it depicts a spoiled and entitled person. So we see the definition. We see the danger. We see the depiction. And lastly, I want to give you the remedy to murmuring and complaining. You say, what's the remedy? What's the cure? And I went really deep on this one. I was really trying hard to think of something extra spiritual. And I came up with this. Knock it off. You know what parents, you know, I mean, I don't know. What some parents do when their kid starts whining and complaining, they say, knock it off. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Go to Philippians 2 again, Philippians chapter 2. You say, what's the remedy? And look, I'm not downplaying your circumstances. The things might be difficult in your life. You might be in that wilderness wandering in the desert where you feel thirsty. Things are going your way. Look, it might be difficult. We're not downplaying that. But just realize that murmuring and complaining does absolutely nothing to help your problems. It's a sin. It's pointless. It's scientifically making you dumber. So what should you do? You should knock it off. Philippians 2, look, verse number 14 again. Philippians 2, 14. Again, do all things, notice, without murmurings and disputings. Simple command. Everything you do, it should be without complaining, without murmuring. Is life hard? Absolutely, life is hard. Is it difficult? Of course. Will you struggle? Yes, you'll struggle. But this is why we praise the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit. You have salvation. You have a Heavenly Father who is there knowing that you might be in that wilderness, knowing exactly where you are, knowing it's only 3 days into the journey, knowing it's only 2 months into the journey, giving you your pastor, giving you a church, giving you the King James Bible, the ability to pray, to go to the throne of God boldly, that you could find grace to help in time of need, knowing that you have all that resource to you. There's absolutely no reason why we should complain and murmur. So when it comes to those times that are difficult in life, when they get hard, instead of complaining, look, go to the Lord in prayer and ask yourself, how can I better myself or how can I better my circumstances in life? And think of ways that you can fix it. Because look, complaining, whining, and murmuring does absolutely nothing to help you in life. You know, in preparation for the sermon, I read a book for my own personal growth. And the book was about this subject of complaining, and I came across a great portion of the book that I want to share with everyone, especially adults. And, you know, I took a portion of this book, and I just want to read it to you. It says this: sometimes we may have a really bad day where things are off and not going our way. We may be tempted to whine and complain, but a good attitude we must sustain. Think on the good, have the right perspective. A grateful heart is very effective. Choosing to not complain builds character. Philippians 2:14 is explaining we should not be murmuring or complaining. And I read that, and I thought to myself, man, those are some powerful words, some deep words. Like, this person's a genius. And I looked at the cover, and I said, oh, man, it's The Adventures of Herb Meyer. Herb Learns to Not Complain, written by our pastor's wife, Miss Joanna Jimenez, illustrated by Pastor Roger Jimenez. I think to myself, like, Herb Meyer has more spirituality than some adults. And, you know, we read these children's books, and we should, to our kids. But, you know, sometimes adults have to read these things. Because, look, sometimes, yeah, you and I, we may have a really bad day. You understand that? Where things are off, and guess what? They don't go exactly our way. And, yeah, we're going to be tempted to whine and complain, but guess what? A good attitude we must sustain. Think on the good. That's a choice that you make. Right? God, because God wants you to control your thoughts, right? Whatsoever things are true, lovely, pure, honest, if there be any virtue, think on these things. We should strive to think on the good on purpose. Have the right perspective, not like the children of Israel who are just ungrateful in the wilderness, whining and complaining, saying, oh, it was better in Egypt. No, it wasn't. It was worse in Egypt. But when you're in the will of God, yeah, it might get difficult in life, but have the right perspective that you have salvation, you have the word of God, you have your pastor, you have your pastor's life, you have the King James Bible in your hand. It's like, what more could you need? A grateful heart is very effective, being grateful for what God has given you. Choosing to not complain builds character. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So I suggest everyone go home and dust off their Herb Meyer books and read that. Go to Psalm 144, if you would, Psalm 144. So we saw the definition of murmuring and complaining. The danger of murmuring and complaining. What's the danger? It's a sin, it's contagious, it's pointless. It makes you dumber. What does it depict? It depicts laziness. It depicts a spoiled and entitled mentality. What's the remedy? The remedy is to knock it off. And I want to end here in Psalm 144 and verse 11 with some verses here. And here we have David praying for deliverance. We have David really praying for like how he wants life to be, praying for God to bless him and deliver him. But I want you to notice what David says in Psalm 144 and verse 11. He says, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. He says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as the cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. And you think, you read this, you're like, man, yeah, like I want this in my life. Or God to bless my kids. We're God to bless my storehouses. We're God to bless me in my life and deliver me. And in verse 14, he says this, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out. And then he says that there be no complaining in our streets. You know what David's praying for? Is that people just stop complaining in life. He says that there be no complaining in our streets. You see, what does God want from you and I? God wants us to serve him, to love him, to work hard, in wherever God has you in life, whatever position you find yourself in. And while, yes, it may be difficult, the easy thing would be to murmur and complain. But what should we do? We should go to the Lord and ask him to help us in wherever we find ourselves and be someone who does all things without murmuring and complaining. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word and for our church. I thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. And please forgive us for the times that we do complain. And we shouldn't, and help us all to be content, to work hard, to love you. And I just thank you for our church, for our pastor. Please be with him as he's away. And be with everyone tonight. Just bless us all, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray.